This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, think about this. Everything begins with the khashyat of Allah in our hearts, with the glory and majesty of Allah in our hearts. The glory of and majesty of Allah in our hearts ensures that our hearts are then free from all worry and stress and all kinds of negativity. And also that our mind is then focused on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything that does not please Allah is something that we will avoid. So who is Allah? He is the one who created our earth, which rotates on its axis at 1,000 miles per hour, 1600 kilometers per hour. In addition to spinning on its axis, the earth also revolves around the sun. We are approximately 93 million miles, 150 million kilometers from the sun, and at that distance, it takes us 1 year, 365 days, to grow around once. We are traveling on the Earth's orbit of 600 million miles, 970 million kilometers at a rate of 66,000 miles per hour, is 107 million kilometers per hour. At this speed, you could get from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. in 3 minutes. As they say on TV, please don't try going this fast without serious adult supervision. Our sun is just one star among several hundred billion others in the Milky Way galaxy. This is our immense island of stars, and within it, each star is itself moving. In addition to the individual motions of the stars within it, the entire galaxy is spinning like an enormous pinwheel. Although the details of the galaxy's spin are complicated, stars at different distances move at different speeds, we can focus on the speed of the sun around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. It takes our sun approximately 225 million years to make the trip around the galaxy. This is called a galactic year. Since the sun and the earth first formed, it is estimated that about 20 galactic years have passed. We have been around the galaxy 20 times. To complete this journey, the sun moves at 483,000 miles per hour. That is 792,000 kilometers per hour. On the other hand, in all recorded human history, we have barely moved around the Milky Way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the reason to educate ourselves and told us how to do it. And he said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al Imran, indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, in the alternation of the day and the night, there are signs for people of reason, people of intelligence, people who reflect. These people are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while standing, sitting and lying on their sides and reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth, and they pray, they make dua and they say, O our Rabb, you have not created all of this without purpose, in vain. Glory be to you, protect us from the torment of the fire. The idea of educating in general and science in particular is to open our eyes to the greatness and glory of our Creator, of Allah, so that we love Him and appreciate what He wishes us to do and do it with joy, and to remember that one day we will meet Him and He will deal with us justly and give us what we deserve. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addition to that, for His mercy. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats us with justice alone, then we will not survive that, because we have no way in which we can fulfill what we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy. We say, Allah, give us in with your mercy and forgive us whatever we have not fulfilled of our of what is made compulsory for us. My brother, sister, just look around yourselves. Where I am sitting here now, I have two purple hydrangea bushes. Now, calling them purple hydrangea bushes is a bit of a misnomer, because they're not just purple. Eat that purple, flowers of different ages have different colors. It's all purple, but different shades of purple. And even that individual petal of the flower has the shade varying from the edge going to the center. I'm also looking at beautiful yellow and bright blood red lilies, which are standing in front of me. I'm looking at a little, tiny little Carolina wren female who has made a nest, or rather nested in my nesting box. And she's alone. I'm wondering where her mate is, because they mate for life. And she seems to be alone. So, you know, where is her mate? And without the mate, then this nest is not going to be do her much good. But anyway, so she's there, and every time she goes for a little flight, comes back, and then she sits there on the perch and sings this beautiful tune, which is so lovely. Little bird makes this wonderful tune, and she's quite loud. If you you probably will hear some of her singing in this lecture while I'm talking. Then I have a whole family of orange finches, of rose finches, not orange, rose finches. It started about 2 years ago, I think, or so, or 3 years ago. It started with one pair. That is the only one pair that I used to see around here. And now there are dozens of them. So obviously they find this place conducive, and you know, they're raising their young. So a whole lot of them, you know, fighting over the food in the feeding boxes. I give them black oil sunflower seeds, which are high in protein, high in fat. They love it, and they're fighting. The males have this wonderful red head and chest. The females are just plain gray-brown, rather drab, but the males are very colorful, because they have this they have this lovely color. Then I have what else do I have? I have sparrows. I have what are called old world sparrows. Now, they're called old world sparrows because they came across the Atlantic on the sailing ships that the original settlers came from Britain. They also got to Britain from somewhere. We know they are there in India. So they would have got, imagine these little birds, they're crossing oceans, not by flying across the ocean themselves, but by getting onto ships. Now, obviously, the bird getting onto the ship is not planning to go to America. The bird is getting onto the ship because the ship has food. It is probably has grain and so on. So the bird is there, and the next thing you know, the bird is in America. And then they get off the ships. They fly around here. They get they breed successfully. So I have those. Then I have a whole bunch of starlings. It's interesting, I was doing some little bit of research on this. How did starlings get here? There was somebody who, in the beginning, when the British started settling in America, was somebody who decided to bring all the birds in Shakespeare's plays and his writings, all the birds that Shakespeare mentioned, one of them is starlings. So he brought some starlings and left them here. They are highly successful. They breed like nothing on earth. And like any introduced species, they're also very harmful because the starlings result in billions of dollars worth of crop loss and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, but that's one side. But they look lovely. They sing beautifully. They're, you know, amazing. Then I have on the ground a chipmunk, which looks like one of our Indian squirrels, but very small. Who's also a seed eater. So what he does, and this is how the whole system works. We have the feeders hanging from the top. They're squirrel proof, so squirrels and chipmunks can't get up there. But the birds who feed on the feeders, they are very wasteful feeders. So they eat one seed, they drop two or three seeds on the ground. So wasteful in that sense, but that is how the ground feeders, which are chipmunks, which are squirrels, which are doves. We have a whole bunch of mourning doves here. At any time I can see about maybe 7 or 8 of them who eat off the ground under the feeders. So the chipmunk just now is filling his cheeks with and he's got two lumps on his either side of his face, filling his cheeks with the seed. Then he will run, carry them down into their burrows. And leave them there, and then through the winter they survive on that. Finally, I have in before me now, this year particularly, the robins, the American robin, have done very well with their broods. So for the first time, I would see through the summer, spring and summer, I would see maybe one or two juveniles, you know, chicks. But this time I'm seeing about maybe 12 or more, and just yesterday I discovered a robin nest, which is sitting on top of a post, which has two tiny babies in it, and it has one bright blue egg. And this morning I saw the mother sitting there on this egg, trying to hatch it. You know, I wish them all the best. They're wonderful, wonderful birds. Amazing birds singing and praising Allah all the time. They are the first birds to start their zikr in the morning, and they are the last that I hear in the night before it becomes completely dark. Now, the reason I'm mentioning all this is all of these are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on the one hand, you have all these huge things that are galactic level, galaxies and suns and so on, stupendous sizes, spinning at stupendous speeds, traveling and traversing stupendous distances. And on the other hand, you have these wonderful, beautiful things which are in our midst and in front of us on a daily basis. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with His glory and majesty and the love for Himself and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.